You're listening to The Point. I'm Amy Vince, in for Mindy Todd. Children have vivid imaginations and love stories, but getting a story started and putting it on paper can be a challenge for many kids. That's where Wicked Weird Story Starters comes in, a new book by longtime collaborators T.M. Murphy author and illustrator Mark Penta. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy. How you doing?
Thank you.
Also joining us, Jill Meserve, a third grade teacher at East Falmouth Elementary School, who uses the Story Starter book with her students. Hi, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Ted, what exactly is a story starter?
Well, a story starter basically is something that gets the kids going. It's not just kids. I grew up with story starters from my dad, who's also a teacher. So it's about a paragraph of a great plot, a character, some great dialogue, perhaps, and then you have to have the cliffhanger. And at the cliffhanger, in this case, this is for children, they go, what's going to happen? And you, as the teacher, you turn to them and you say, well, you're going to tell us because now you're going to continue the story. So you give them a basic framework and then they run with it.
And then they go. Mark, this collection of story starters came out of a friendly collaboration between you and Ted, a collaboration that's been going on since you were kids. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, I was a summer kid in Falmouth Heights, you know, Cape Cod, and Ted was, his family was in the same neighborhood, and so we would grow up together playing baseball and that kind of thing, and we discovered that we were good at creative stuff. So Ted would bring stories to the picnic table, and I would draw them. So we made up our own episodes of The Twilight Zone, and we would record them on my radio, and that's kind of how it started.
Oh, that's funny. So you did so who would start? I mean, you would start with a story and then you do the illustration, or did it ever switch?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny how this book works, because the book worked with Mark came up with the idea, like, we should really collaborate, and he would send me the pictures. But when we were kids, I started off with stories, and it was my way of kind of, you know, when you're a young kid, I wasn't the best at sports. Mark actually called me the strikeout king. And so writing was my thing. So the neighborhood kids would get really excited about whatever ghost story. And then suddenly the summer kid started drawing the pictures to my ghost story. And as it kind of took the limelight away from me. So at first, being a young kid, I was jealous. And then I realized, you know what? He has tremendous talent. And what is he going to come up with from my story? And so then it was a back and forth kind of thing. And we've done that. We've done all sorts of collaborations. We've done songs together.
Yeah, like Ted would come up with some song lyrics or a long poem, and he'd say, hey, can you do something with this musically? And I was kind of an amateur songwriter myself. And so when I wasn't busy drawing, I'd pick up the guitar and I'd take his words and form it into a song. And so that's kind of how our collaboration really started. In the meantime, we were soaking in all these influences, like, you know, we'd watch movies and TV growing up, so like Twilight Zone and stories like that.
Yeah, we always say the one thing we regret about Wicked Weird Story Starters is that we did not dedicate it in memory of Rod Serling, the creator of the Twilight Zone. Because he really was a teacher to us. That's when Mark and I realized we have something in common, because we loved those Twilight Zone episodes. And we would write up some, and then the neighborhood kids, we would act out stuff. And the other thing was Star Wars. Mark is a bigger Star Wars fan than I am, mm-hmm. but they would have lightsaber, you know, fights in the neighborhood. So it was all that kind of stuff that you go, you know, you grow up loving the same kind of storytelling. So it was just a natural, you know, fit to continue this.
Continue it. Jill, kids are known for their vivid imaginations. Can you explain how you use the story starters to tap into that creativity?
Well, using Ted and Mark's book, it's just such a great starting point for students, especially in the grade level, third grade, that I teach. Having the illustration that Mark has provided to go along with the words, I think it just only enhances their imagination. It's used right now. It's just a novel, engaging way to have students practice narrative writing.
And so what do you do in the classroom? Do you pull the book out and then do you read it the starter aloud to them and show them the illustration? Or how do you How do you sit down to do the exercise?
The book would be done whole group at first, and the story story starter would be read as a whole group, and the illustration, and then we have a discussion about it, and then the students go off and they independently finish the story.
And then do you come back together at some point, and do the students share what
they've...
Absolutely. They do.
They share.
We invited fifth graders from Morris Pond School in Falmouth to read the stories they created from the Wicked Weird Story Starter book, Madeline and William Fenstermaker, who also happen to be Mindy Todd's niece and nephew. Mindy talked to them last week. First, we'll hear from Maddie, followed by Will.
Mine is Sally Jenkins and the Ghost Letter. Sally Jenkins had been a mail sorter at the post office for over 30 years. She loved reading the faraway addresses, dreaming of what real-life stories were contained inside the letters. But ever since email came along, handwritten letters had become extinct, other than the occasional letter to Santa Claus. Nothing exciting ever came across her conveyor belt. That is, until the day she spotted it. She was 16 days, 4 hours, and 6 minutes from retirement, when the yellow envelope caught her eye. It was postmarked 1978. There was no return address, but it was addressed to someone Sally knew too well. She had heard about letters that bounced around the system, going years unopened. Postal workers called them ghost letters, and now she was holding one, and she knew she shouldn't open it, but curiosity got the better of her. The letter read, "Dear Olivia Jenkins," that was the name of Sally's twin sister. Sally hadn't seen her sister since 2 years ago. She read on, "This is urgent. You must come to the base immediately." Sally paused again. "What is the base?" she asked herself. She read on. "Agent number 584, your and your sister's lives are in grave danger. From the boss." Sally panicked. She didn't know what to do. She wished she never opened the letter. She thought to herself, "I must find my sister," said Sally. She ran outside in the chilly day, all the way to her sister's house. She knocked on the door. A stranger opened it. Sally said, "Who are you?" And the stranger said her name was Anna Rose. Sally asked, "Does Olivia Jenkins still live here?" Anna replied, "She's been missing for almost 2 years." Sally began to question the last 2 years. Was she really Sally Jenkins or not?
I did Custodian Carl in the Red Room. Carl had just been promoted to head custodian. That meant he was now in charge of the key ring that contained over 100 keys. He was excited, but not about the promotion. No. Custodian Carl noticed that they forgot to take the crooked key bearing the initials RR off the ring. The initials had a simple meaning behind them. They stood for Red Room. For 9 years, he had wondered what was behind the door of the Red Room. Now he was about to find out. As Carl slowly walked down the hall to the Red Room, he seemed to notice things he hadn't before. When he reached the door of the Red Room, he stuck the key in the keyhole. The door creaked open as if it hadn't been opened in many years. There it was, the Red Room, with red walls and red floors. As he walked, the room seemed to get longer and longer. Soon, he had walked a mile. He walked left, then forward, then right. Soon, he was lost. One of the other custodians saw the door open and shut it. That meant Carl was locked in. Carl tried to find his way back, but got lost even more. Soon, he came across a door that said the Green Room. He didn't have a key to this room, but he turned the doorknob and it popped open. But the room wasn't green, it was red. Carl said to himself, "I'm never getting out of here." Soon, he found another door, and another. They're all red rooms. That was when Carl realized he was never going to get out of there.
Did you like this book?
Yeah, it was really cool. It's like how it started, and then you could come up with it, and then like in the back of the book you could draw your own pictures for it. It was really cool. Yeah.
What about you, Will? What'd you think?
I liked how there was just some local people here that wrote, like, how they liked on the back, and one of them was a fifth grade teacher who teaches at our school, and it's just really cool how you could also make up your own endings. Yeah.
How did you choose which story to write about?
I just read them all and found one that caught my interest.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Maddie?
I just read through them all, and I thought, like, about one I could really work with and make some, like, really fun story, kind of, and I chose that one.
So are you going to write some more stories with the lead-ins that you have?
Probably. Yeah.
That was Will and Maddie Fenstermaker reading the stories they wrote from the Wicked Weird Story Starters by Ted Murphy, illustrated by Mark Penta. Mark, when you did the illustration and then Ted, when you wrote the story starter, I imagine each of you saw the story heading in a certain direction. When you hear some of the stories that the kids come up with, are they going at all down the path you first thought that they might when you did these?
Hardly ever. No. Yeah. That's the beauty of it. You feel like you've created something that can continuously become something new every time a child uses it. That's the excitement I get out of it. I don't want to answer for Mark. What do you?
Yeah, I'm always surprised whenever I hear the kids finish one of our stories. I mean, that's probably those stories we just heard were incredible.
They I love really, the bass.
Yeah, I mean, they for whatever reason it just taps into their imagination. That's the whole purpose of this, to inspire their imaginations. And I mean, that's maybe the second or third time I've heard one of the Custodian Carl stories, and it's always just something so different from everybody else's. Yeah, I'm thrilled. I mean, it's just such a thrill to hear what they're doing with our work. Yeah.
Jill, what about you? You've been using the story starters with your third graders. Have you been surprised at the direction that their stories have taken?
Absolutely. When you have, 16 students writing from the same prompt, you typically get 16 different answers, and it's fun to share with a class, because then it stimulates a lot of discussion. Why did you choose that? Why did your story go in that direction? So it's always fun to see all the different ideas. And they always say it's just an interesting way to write, too. It's a novel way to write.
Right. But I do see the influence of the Twilight Zone in science fiction, at least in both of these stories that we hear Maddie and Will do. Do you see is there a science fiction bent to some of the stories that your third graders are coming up, or they're not so much?
Not as much. I don't think that, they're probably watching as much Twilight Zone as
the fifth graders.
As Ted and Mark and the fifth graders, to some degree, but not as much at the third grade level.
As Will mentioned after reading his story, there are wonderful illustrations in the book done by Mark, but the book also encourages kids to create their own drawings to go along with the stories. Jill, have your kids also been doing illustrations?
We've been focusing more on writing.
On the writing part.
They're, welcome to illustrate at the end, but the focus is more writing at this point.
And standardized testing is now part of the academic experience for students as early as elementary school. Has that impacted the amount of time you can devote to more creative or imaginative activities?
I think that is an important thing to do with all the standardized testing that's happening in elementary schools. And I think that using a book like this is very powerful, because it's once again, it's a novel way to have your students practice narrative writing, practice writing from, I know this is a story starter, but it's similar to a prompt in a way. And students are, the demands now are writing to prompts.
Oh, so the testing, this is similar to what they might see in one of the standardized tests?
It's not. The students aren't just generating their own writing. What they're doing is they're writing from a prompt or a story starter. So it's just another way for them to practice and engage in using. I noticed in the samples that we just listened to, the transition words they were using and the vocabulary, and it's just such a great way to practice it.
Ted, you've been involved with teaching creative writing to kids for a number of years, but you've also used story starters with your adult writing students. Talk about using these, not necessarily this book, but the whole concept of using the story starter.
First of all, the reaction you get as a teacher when you hear the same story starter from adults to kids is fascinating. I teach at Boston College, at the Woods College, and the students, they kind of do need it even more at an older level, because everyone's kind of timid to put the pen onto paper and just let go. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of the semester, I will use story starters just to get them back into the groove, because those are people who have left college and now are coming back. So again, to use the word timid, they are timid at trying to write. But once they do the story starters, they're feeling kind of good
right,
about themselves.
The juice is flowing. And
yeah.
They can, yeah.
And then I kind of direct them, I direct them to their own personal stories, because everyone has fantastic stories. They never realize it, the actual student, until we really get them safe with writing and feeling good about it. And then we say, okay, tell us about your life on paper. Mm-hmm. And it's freeing in that in that sense. You know, people are ready to let loose because they've practiced with, say, the Sally Jenkins in the letter, and maybe they write a little emotional stuff that might be part of their life, but they get it into these characters. It's, again, about being safe.
Right.
But now they've done it, and now they're feeling good, and they're like, you know what? I want to write my own story.
I can do this. Jill, did you bring some pieces that your students had written that you wanted to share, or no?
Okay. No, I didn't bring pieces that my students wanted to share, but I did bring a couple excerpts of letters that my students have written. Ted did come and speak to the whole third grade at East Falmouth School. And we just finished reading Saving Santa's Seals, his other book. And just some of the sentences, if I could just read a couple.
Oh, of course.
T.M. Murphy spreads a very important message. That message is to believe in yourself and never give up. The Wicked Weird Story Starters book helps me to start my writing in an interesting and exciting way. And I think what Ted just said about feeling safe with writing, with story starters, sometimes the hardest part for students at third grade is to just start the story. You know, where do I start? How do I begin the story? So using a book like this, they have the beginning already. And it's they tend to write, they dive right into it. It's a safer way for them to write. Another student said, this makes writing and reading more fun for me. All the kids in third grade are really looking forward to this. Thank you so much. They've just really, the message is just that it's believing in themselves, and that's the message he's spread with them. He's a local, Mark is local also, so they think it's really great that, you know, they use characters that are their friends. So now I see a lot more of that writing in my classroom. They're bringing friends as characters, and it's been very powerful.
Do you share with the students your story about being friends since you were small and now doing what you were doing back then? You've turned that into your career, your profession. I think that's an interesting role model for kids as well, to see what you're passionate about can blossom into something that you can do as an adult.
Yeah, we did our first big school assembly not too long ago, and it's about an hour long. And that's the way we started out, is by telling the kids how we met when we were younger, how we used to collaborate when we were younger, and the fact that we were not the best students ourselves. Like, we weren't good at math or science. That wasn't our thing at all. But we were good at, Ted was great at writing, I was good at art, and we just kind of kept, we were encouraged to do those things by those certain special teachers in our lives and our parents and our friends. So we just kind of kept at it. And we like to tell the kids our story, because maybe some of them aren't very good at math or science, and they think they have to be good at everything. Well, we're here to tell them, you know what? If you have a gift for creativity, or whatever your gift may be, sports, just keep going with it. Do what you love to do. Follow your dreams. Follow your passion, and you'll eventually get rewarded. It's a very rewarding life.
Absolutely. To echo that, Mark and I have now done these assemblies together, and what's great is that now they see there are artists in the audience, and they see Mark, and they can relate with his story, and the writers relate with mine. And it is true that, I don't know, I feel like in society right now, kids are forced to have to be good at everything, or try to do, you know, they got to do this activity, do that activity. No, that's not how it should be. They should find what they love. And if it is art, go for the art. If it's the writing, go for the writing. And for us to kind of tell them that, yeah, we weren't great students. It's amazing how kids look at you like, no, really? I thought, you know, you're supposed to be an A student to be a great student. And real quickly, there's a teacher in Falmouth who's retiring. Her name's Joanne Holcomb. And in the eighth grade, I was always getting support from my parents because my dad is a writer, but it's your father saying you're good at something. But it was Joanne Holcomb who took me aside and said, you know what, you do have a talent. And to hear that at that time in your life where I was flunking really everything, I mean, it was bad. But to hear that and to know that you love to also do that same thing, that got me so excited, and I continued to write. And I continued to surround myself around creative people, like my friend who I've known since we were 5 years old, Mark. And I would urge, it's never too late. If there's people listening right now saying, you know what, I should have you know, done a book, start writing now, or drawing, right, Mark? I mean,
yeah, you can. It's very easy these days to sort of cut out the middleman if you ever want to publish your work. I mean, we self-published Wicked Weird Story Starters, and I'm glad we did, because, and actually, I'd like to mention too that the way we created the book was kind of prompts for just for us, for Ted and I, because I would draw a picture of a character and I'd send it over to him and I'd have no idea what the story was about with this particular character. And I'd say, okay, here's this character, Custodian Carl, see what kind of story you can come up with about this guy. And that, you know, the way I would draw that character, maybe I'd put a certain, I don't know, object on his clothing or something a little bit weird or unusual. And that would trigger Ted's imagination to come up with the story. And then it would work the opposite way, where Ted would say, hey, look, I've come up with this paragraph here about this character. What kind of imagery can you come up with to create a picture of what that character looks like? So it was, these were prompts for us as we created it. But anyway, back to the point about getting your work out there. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've taught private drawing lessons for years, and I recently taught a woman who was 57 years old, who was working a job for a long time that she just didn't like. And she said, you know, I always wanted to be an artist, but my parents told me that I couldn't make a living at it. And so I never did. And I've always regretted it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to teach you some drawing lessons. And she was able to like find that artist within her. And it was really exciting to see her fulfill that part of herself that had been hidden for so long. So
yeah, it's a great feeling for you and for her, yeah. I think, to help somebody realize that after so long. Yeah.
Definitely.
So I guess we could say the Wicked Weird Story Stars certainly aren't just for kids. So if folks are listening now and their appetite has been whetted for either illustration or writing, this could be the book. Ted Murphy and Mark Penta, authors of Wicked Weird Story Starters, and Jill Meserve, a third grade teacher at the East Falmouth Elementary School. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you,
Thanks
Amy.
For having
Thank
us.
You. I'm Amy Vince, in for Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.